89.3 4CRB.
And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group, back with you for another program of The Law and You this Tuesday morning. As always, it's your opportunity to get free legal advice between now and 9:30. All we need you to do is get on that telephone as soon as you possibly can. 55208888, the number. That number again, 55208888. And for those who live south of the Tweed River, don't forget you need to put 07 in front of the number. And before we take our first caller, just my sincere thanks to my colleague Margaret Miller, who stepped in for me last week. I was down in Canberra on the Monday, actually attending an education conference at which, amongst other people, David Gonski was one of the speakers. And it was certainly a most rewarding conference, a lot of very, very useful information came out of it. So thank you to Margaret for standing in for me so that I could attend that conference and fly back on the Tuesday morning. But enough of that. We've had a very patient Judith sitting there for some time on the phone, so we say good morning, Judith. How are you today? Judith, are you there? Oh, Judith, after waiting on for so long, you appear to have disappeared. So if you're listening at the moment, Judith, please ring back, because we just don't have you there at the moment. Tommy is just going to go out and double check and make sure that everything's working okay with the telephone system. But while he's doing that, one thing that I'm very pleased to talk about this morning is the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau, that I often refer to as the Citizens Advice Bureau, which is up at Southport at Railway Street. I had a lovely email from Victoria Scheel, who's the director, or one of the directors of, or the director and principal solicitor of the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau. And she was responding or giving me some information which I think will be very useful to many of our listeners, and that is that follows on from a call I had a few weeks ago. I recall a gentleman rang and I think from memory was located in Tweed Heads and was looking for free legal advice, and ultimately we discovered that there is free legal advice available on certain days at the courthouse in Tweed Heads, so you would need to ring the courthouse at Tweed. But the great thing that I found out from the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau is that in addition to providing services at their rooms in Southport at 34 Railway Street, they actually now visit quite a number of centres across the Gold Coast. So these range from Coolangatta to Kira, Varsity Lakes, the Southport Magistrates Court, of course, Narang, Palm Beach, so they're Oxenford, Upper Coomera. So there are a whole range of areas that they go to. They're not there every day of the week, so they attend certain areas on certain days. But if you live outside of the Southport area and attending the Robina Community Legal Service on a Thursday evening is not convenient to you, then the great news is that this service is available through the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau. So you can ring their offices on 55 32 9611. So their number is 55 32 9611. And if you give them a call and you live outside of an area where it's convenient for you to get to their rooms at Southport, you'll be able to take advantage of their services in other places as well. And don't forget, of course, that on Thursday evenings, the Robina Community Legal Centre continue to provide legal service down at the Gold Coast City Council Robina Community Centre. So if that's convenient to you, well, that's great. You would be able to go down there as well. A couple of other things too, while the boys are here trying to work out the technological issues with our phone-in system, and thank God they're not relying on me to do it, because I'm an absolute troglodyte when it comes to anything to do with technology. I still use a pen and paper. Two things. One, I had a call from a relative over the weekend who had signed up to buy a new car. And it was one of those marry in haste, repent at leisure decisions where they were wondering whether there is any cooling off period in relation to the purchase of a new car. And, of course, the situation in Queensland is that there is, in fact, no cooling off when you buy a new car, but there is one business day cooling off period when you buy a used car. So the advice I give is, whatever you do, if you're buying a car, make sure that you think about it and don't get pressured into signing up. But enough of that. We've sorted out our technology problems, and Judith, you've been very patient to wait there. Thank you so much. How can I help you this morning?
Oh, good morning, John. Can you hear me now?
I certainly can. Thank you.
Oh, good. Okay, thanks for that. My son died about 6 weeks ago in Sydney. He was on a disability support pension and lived in the Department of Housing. Mm-hmm. He left no will.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't yet finalised his bank accounts because I'm waiting on the death certificate still, mm-hmm. but I suspect there will be nothing in the bank.
Right.
Can you tell me, am I personally liable for my son's death,
no.
please?
No, you're not.
Okay.
So you don't need to worry about that.
That doesn't seem to be the understanding of Telstra, and I've just got a rather blunt letter from Centrelink
mm-hmm.
saying I need to repay.
Well,
some money.
The money can only be repaid from your son's assets. So if your son has any assets whatsoever, be it a life insurance policy under which the benefit goes to his legal personal representative, or he had a bank account with money in it, he owned shares or anything at all, then obviously his debts must be repaid out of those assets. But if he has no assets, then he dies, his estate is in all probability bankrupt. So you certainly don't have any personal liability. The only exception to that may be, Judith, if you were the one who organised his funeral and you engaged the funeral director to carry out the service, etc., then that obligation would probably rest with you personally.
As in paying for the funeral, you
yes,
mean?
Yes, assuming,
oh, yes. That
assuming.
Has all been taken care of.
Right, okay. So,
Yeah.
Well, I would simply be writing back to them and saying, look, you know, the neither of these accounts are in your name, are they? The Telstra account
is in
your son's name.
No, they're under the estate. They're under the estate
yep.
of.
Well, all you need to do is, once you know what the full asset and liability position of your son's estate is, you simply need to write back to them and say, look, I'm the mother of the deceased. I've investigated his assets and liabilities. He had no assets. You know, he had, you know, $5 in the bank or whatever it may be. And by the way, the funeral account can be paid out of his bank account if he had any money in the bank at all. The bank will pay that. If he died without a will, of course, he dies what's called intestate, which means he's, there's no will under which to administer his estate, and his estate then can only be administered if letters of administration are taken out, which is quite a costly exercise. And if his estate is only small, you know, a few hundred dollars or something, then there's probably little point in administering it.
Right, okay. Mm. Well, I would be pretty certain that the bank balance would be at almost zero, because I know that I have been contributing to his living costs over the years anyway.
Right, so right.
I cannot see how he would have any money.
Mm. Well, if he had no other assets at all, then there will be no estate to be administered. So, you know, as I say, I would simply be writing to Centrelink and saying, you know, that he had that he has no assets from which to repay this debt. I mean, you haven't withdrawn any money from his bank account, have you?
I haven't even been to his bank yet.
Right,
okay. I have no idea what's in it. I've paid for the funeral.
Yes.
I've paid for all of his unit to be cleared out.
Well, as I say, you know, that stuff, I mean, the stuff in his unit is probably worth next to nothing.
Because
secondhand furniture, you normally, my experience with administering estates is that that you nearly have to pay a secondhand dealer to come and take the stuff away in most cases. So there's not much value in secondhand furniture. And sadly these days, it even seems to be a very similar case with antiques, unless they're particularly rare and expensive antiques. But even antique furniture doesn't seem to have a market anymore. People aren't really interested in it that much. So, yes, Judith, look, as I say, I would just write back to them. There's no basis upon which they can take legal action against you.
Good, thank you. It's just that both people I was dealing with, both Telstra and Centrelink, appear to be assuming that it's my responsibility the way that things were said to me and the way this letter that I've got is written.
Well, they may be assuming that you're the administrator of your son's estate. And until letters of administration are granted, you're not. And secondly, they're probably assuming that under the rules of intestacy, if your son had no spouse and no children, then you and your husband have the first claim on his estate. So they may be assuming that you're going to be receiving money out of the estate, which, from what you're telling me, it doesn't sound like that's going to be very likely at all.
No, exactly. All right. Well, thank you very much for your information. I appreciate it.
No trouble at all. Thanks for the call. 5520888 is the number. We've sorted out the little gremlins in the phone system. So if you have a question or a query, you can give us a call right now on that number. 5520888. You'll get straight through, and we'll be back after this word from our sponsors.
Looking for the ultimate Father's Day out? Head to Carrara Markets this weekend for an amazing spectacular of chrome and colour. The free classic car show is on all weekend inside the new events arena, with a stunning display of timeless classics, from Caddies to Chevys, Mustangs to Monaros. There's over $3 million worth of classics all under the one roof. Our sponsor, Carrara Markets, free classic car show, this Saturday and Sunday.
Another sponsor.
The weight training's paying off, Beth, even at our age.
There's another weighty discussion we need to have, Frank.
My waistline?
No, pre-planning with Somerville Funerals. We should do it. We can lock in today's prices, and I want to decide on the details. It'll be a weight off our shoulders.
And my waistline.
Oh, Frank.
With a prepaid funeral from Somerville Funerals, your payment is safely held in a trust until needed. Visit somervillefunerals.com.au.
Another sponsor.
And this is The Law and You on 4CRB. Our telephone number, 5520888. That number again, 5520888. Presently, we have no callers online, so if you have a question or a query that you would like dealt with, give us a call straight away. We've still got 11 minutes of the program remaining, so plenty of time for you to call in and get those queries out of the road. And someone who's taken that advice is John. G'day, John. How are you today?
Very good, thanks, John. I hope you're going well, too.
Absolutely. How can I help you today?
John, I've been looking after a neighbour who had motor neurone disease for a year and a half, I guess, year and maybe 15 months. Anyhow, his aim was to stay in the house, didn't want to leave the house. He never had visitors. He never wanted any helpers in the house until I got to know him. Like, I've known him since 95, but as a neighbour, sort of a bit distant. But anyhow, I ended up doing everything for him, and he said he was going to change his will and he was going to leave the will to my wife and myself. Anyhow, but the aim was he had to stay in the house right till the end, which he did. I was putting him to bed, I was getting him up in the morning, I was putting a nappy on him, and I was, wife was cooking food and we were feeding him, and the poor man, he was just, couldn't even scratch himself. You know, it's just amazing, terrible disease. Anyhow, he died, but he never got to change the will. So I got his will, and I took it down to the solicitor, and I said, this is his will. He died you had written this out for him about 10 years ago. And the solicitor looked and he said, yes. He said, I wrote that out, but I don't remember him. And, you know, and I said to him, I'd like to contest the will because he told me he was going to leave it to me and my wife. And, you know, he never got around to changing it.
Mm.
So what would be my first step?
Well, John, obviously you don't come within the class of people who can contest the will because you, in order to contest a will, you need to be the spouse or partner of the deceased or you need to be a child of the deceased or you need to be someone who's financially dependent upon the deceased. The only grounds under which you may be able to bring a claim would be on the grounds of a constructive trust where you were able to prove that that relying upon your neighbour's statement that he was going to change his will, did you get down to the specifics of what he was going to leave to you for doing this?
Well, he only had money. He didn't have anything else. He didn't have a big amount, but that was
And he it. didn't own his home either?
No, he didn't, no.
And who presently are the beneficiaries under his will without naming them? Are their children or has he got a spouse?
A hospital.
He's left it to a hospital?
Yes, he did this about 10 years ago.
Right, okay. So so was there discussion with him about how much he was going to give you? Was he going to give you the whole of the estate?
Or? He said all. He said leave it all.
Right, okay. All right, well, the only grounds under which you may be able to bring a claim, John, would be on the grounds of a constructive trust that, you know, that he'd agreed that he would do this. But if the amount involved in the estate is not significant, then it's probably going to be fairly difficult. And the other thing, of course, is that if you were to lose the case, then you very well may have to pay the costs to the estate. What you may be better to do would be to perhaps try and negotiate with the hospital. And I would be suggesting that perhaps, you know, as long as you've got proof that this was a clear arrangement and that you've carried out your side of the bargain in doing all of this work, that you try and negotiate with the hospital to agree that they'll pay the money out to you notwithstanding, or alternatively that they will that you can at a minimum agree that you'll get some proportion of it. So, for example, depending on the amount involved,
around $300,000.
Okay, all right. So it's a fair sum of money. All right. So, well, firstly, you need to get some advice about whether there is sufficient evidence there to establish a constructive trust under the terms under which you could bring a successful claim, having done all of this work for him over this period of time. That'll be the first thing, to look at what likelihood of success you would have in relation to that claim, and you need to then assess that against the risks involved if you lose the case, the sort of costs involved, bearing in mind also that the amount in the estate, although it is a reasonable sum, $300,000, it's not a significant sum, and if in a heavily contested action you could easily see $100,000 of that disappear in legal costs if you were unsuccessful. So there's a lot of issues to be weighed up, but I think if you get some legal advice in the first instance about your position, and then from there, I would suggest that it might be worthwhile trying to negotiate with the hospital, depending on which hospital it is, and I don't want you to name them on air, you know, if they have a reasonable attitude to these things and they're satisfied that you've provided all this care to him, relying upon this promise that he would leave his estate to you, you very well may find that you're able to able to negotiate some reasonable settlement.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
But go and get some legal advice first, John, and you need to get advice of someone who specialises in this area. So is it in Queensland or New South Wales?
No, it's in Victoria.
Oh, in Victoria. Okay, so you might need to, where are you? Are you in Victoria?
Well, we usually holiday in Queensland
right
for the winter.
Oh, so
this
you're
was
up
another
here.
Reason. Yeah, we were wanting to go away, and he said, "Look, you know, I really don't want you to go. I want to stay in the house." But we asked him if he'd go into a nursing home for 12 weeks, but know, he didn't want to, but he didn't last long.
Right.
That.
All right. Well, you need to get some advice when you get back to Victoria. Perhaps ring the Law Society of Victoria to ask for someone who lives nearby you who is able to advise you in relation to the matter. All right?
All right. Thank
okay, John,
much,
and enjoy the rest of your holiday here in sunny Queensland.
Thank you. And love your program, too.
Thank you very much. Cheers now. And the time on 4CRB, just coming up to 9:04. Time for one last caller as we say hello to JJ. G'day, JJ. How are you?
Good, thank you, John. Yourself?
Very well, thanks. How can I help you?
Yeah, just a quick inquiry. I'm just inquiring for my sister's daughter, basically. She just had a baby a year ago, and she just split up from her partner, and he told her, basically, to get out. So they just want to know, because she has to go and stay with her parents who's 1,000 kilometres away, is there any ramification that she will encounter if she does that, because he wants the child to stay with him? And they don't, so...
Right, so he's basically telling her to get out, but she can't take the child.
Yeah.
How old's the child?
A year and a half.
Well, I don't think there would be any court that would say that that child wouldn't stay with the mother. The issue might be the fact that if the only place she can go is back to her parents, which is 1,000 kilometres away, the issue that will arise will be the issue of access to the child for the partner. Whereabouts, which suburb on the Gold Coast is she located?
Well, they're actually in Ipswich and the parents are in Mackay.
Oh, right, okay. Well, look, what I would suggest would be for her to see whether there is a community legal service in Ipswich that can advise her on her rights under the Family Law Act. As I say, look, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that...
Yeah, because she's got no problem for him to come and see the child or when she does come down, but she needs place left. He told her that she has to move out with the child.
Well, if she has to move out, he's told her to move out with the child, and if her parents is the only place that she can reasonably go, then I would suggest that she simply go, take the child with her, and it'll then be up to him to seek orders in relation to custody or orders in relation to access.
Yeah, I thought so. I just wanted to make sure.
But I would suggest that she look up the details for a community legal service in Ipswich and go and see someone there before she actually moves out or before she goes up to her parents.
Okay.
All right.
And the baby's on her name, so I think it should be all right.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, thanks, John. I just wanted to check.
Yep. Okay, JJ, all the very best.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. And thank you to all of those people who've rung in to make for such an interesting program, and especially Judith for being so patient waiting while we sorted out the glitches with our system earlier today. One of the other areas that I did talk about a little bit a few weeks ago was elder abuse and the fact that interfering with wills or powers of attorney are in fact criminal offences and can lead to criminal sanction for people who do those things. But one of the issues that someone raised was the issue of elder abuse by the elderly, where elderly people are abusing people who are there as carers. So that certainly is an issue, and if time permits next week, we'll certainly explore that a little bit more. This is John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you this morning. I'll look forward to being back with you again for another program of The Law and You next week. But until then, as always, it's goodbye and God bless.